we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, Cocoa's best gospel station, where the Word of God goes out day after day after day. And so thank you for making us part of your day. My name today is Bob Arthurs. It was Bob Arthurs yesterday. Tomorrow, it'll be Bob Arthurs. But I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We would love to have you come and visit us and see if it's the place where God would have you to partner and participate in reaching this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you would like to come out, we have Sunday morning services, Sunday school at 9:30, Sunday morning worship at 10:30. We have kids church at 10:30. We have youth at 6:30 in our fellowship hall. We have an adult service at 6:30 in our sanctuary. We have Bible study on Wednesday night. We have kids ministry on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Adult Bible study starts at 7. We have men's breakfast once a month. We have women's ministry. We tend to have a little bit for everything, for everybody. And we would love to have you come and be a part of our growing congregation. We may not grow as fast as we'd like, but we have been growing, and we are very thankful for all that God has done. So Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." We are in day two of our study of what is referred to here in verse number 23 as the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Gentleness. And as I told you on yesterday's program, that word can mean mildness, meekness, humility, and gentleness. We live in a very brutish world. There's a lot of things that are done by force. But as we're going to see here in today's broadcast, this spirit of meekness or gentleness, it's something that is supposed to be manifesting in the body of Christ. It is supposed to be a hallmark of our life. As we talked about in yesterday's program, just in the verses that we read, you do not accomplish the things of God through the wrath of man. It's just not going to happen. And so if you want, I can read that verse for you. It's 1 Corinthians. No, I'm sorry. That wasn't the verse. It was, let me see if I can find it there. Goodness gracious, where'd it go? It was how to receive the word of God in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And it says, "For the wrath of man," verse number 20, "does not produce the righteousness of God." The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So today, yesterday, we answered the questions, how do you want people to come to you? How do you want to receive people? And Paul admonished the Corinthians to receive him with the spirit of meekness. The other option was for him to come with a rod. I never liked that option. So I want to receive people with the spirit of meekness. And then how do you want to receive the word? Well, we receive the word with the meekness of the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. And today we are going to talk about how do you dress? How do you dress? We live in Florida. I remember I came to Florida in 1989. I was in the retail industry, and the I was in the shoe department. But the supervisor that I had, he said Florida is a very difficult market for national retailers because they don't understand Florida. He said, so you have, in Florida, you've got three different climates. You have the South, where they still get winter. That would be up in the Jacksonville area. Then you have the tropics, and then you have the subtropics. See, and the further south you go, the things change, the styles change. If you tried to wear what they wear in South Florida up in North Florida in January, you're going to freeze. And if you tried to wear what they wear up there down in South Florida, you're going to burn up. You know, when 60 degrees is a cold front in Miami, you know it's really, you know, it's you live in a subtropical environment. Well, there are things that you need to understand as a believer, and that is that not only do we put on the armor of God that you learn about in Ephesians chapter 6, but you also have a wardrobe that you are supposed to wear. And so let me take you to Colossians chapter 3. And it says in verse number 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it says here that We first of all need to understand that we are the elect of God, and as such, holiness should be a characteristic that we have in our life. Holiness isn't optional. Without holiness, no one will see God. Okay? Holiness is what God said. He said, be holy even as I am holy. And you can't make yourself that way. You can just respond to the Spirit of God prompting you and refining you and making you more and more of a representation of the nature and purpose of Jesus Christ living inside of you. Okay? Holiness is being, you know, we use this word sanctification. It's a big, fancy, theological word. It basically means set apart for God's holy purpose. God redeemed you from the pit you were in. He picked you up, and he set you apart for a holy purpose, not so that you could go and do a triple gainer right back into the same pit of misery and despair that you were in before. Okay, so holy and beloved. If you know that you are loved, it is really a powerful, powerful force in your life. That awareness that you are loved removes the fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So let me just speak to you today and ask you this question. How much does fear play a part in your home? And if it plays any part, then I think that we need to repent and say, God, would you develop a perfect love in my heart for you? Would you develop a perfect love in my heart for my spouse? Would you develop a perfect love in my heart for my kids and for my parents so that I'm not feared about what damage I might do, but instead, as people see me, they will recognize that I am the beloved of the Lord. Okay? My favorite disciple is John. And the reason doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he lived the longest. It doesn't have anything to do that he was the youngest. It is the reason that John is my favorite disciple, my favorite apostle, is whenever John identifies himself in the Gospel of John, he identifies himself this way: the disciple whom Jesus loved. His name, as an identifying characteristic, was lost to himself in just the overwhelming reality that God loved him. God loved him. So let's look at what we're supposed to attire ourselves with. These should be in your wardrobe. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. That's the word. Let's see. It says humility, meekness right there. That's the same word that we're looking at here. You see several related concepts. Long suffering. We talked about that with patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving with one another. You see, once you have been hurt, you begin to get very defensive because none of us really like pain. In fact, I was talking to a person last week and I said, yeah, I'm allergic to pain. It makes me uncomfortable. It's not anything that I like in my life. And so if you've ever made yourself vulnerable, if you've ever risked loving someone, you have more than likely experienced pain on some level. When you hear the word passion, we think of that as a raging expression of emotions and love. But if you look at the definition of passion, such as in the Passion of the Christ, you will find that that word really means that there's suffering involved. And whenever you risk loving somebody, 99% of the time, there's going to be some heartbreak. The only reason that I don't say 100% is because there could be those situations where you're in a plane wreck or a car wreck and all of a sudden, blam, you and your loved one are both promoted to eternity right at the same time. But most of the time, one or the other is going to experience a great deal of heartache because one of them is going to be promoted to eternity before the other. So whenever we realize that we have been and are the loved of God, then we can bear with one another. Don't ever forget that God is in the people business. The reason that we had our I Love Missions emphasis on Sunday morning was because God is in the people business. And he doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to everlasting life. And there's an old joke, yeah, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. You know, there are fallen people. You deal with hurting people, hurt people, hurt people, fallen people, hurt people. There are people who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Listen, if you've been a pastor for any length of time, you are going to run into con artists who want to come in and they're looking to play on the sympathies of God's people. But you know what? Paul writes to the church at Colossae and he says, you know, make sure that you clothe yourself with that meekness so that you can bear with one another. If we're going to spend eternity together, we might as well start getting used to one another now. Okay. And instead of separating into our various camps, well, I'm the Assembly of God camp, and well, this is the Charismatic camp, and this is the Baptist camp, and this is the Presbyterian camp, this is the Methodist camp, and this is the Lutheran camp, this is, you name the camp. Instead of that, why don't we realize this is the camp of the redeemed? And we say, you know what? I've got my flaws that you're having to put up with, and you've got flaws that I'm putting up with, so let's just bear with one another. And instead of condemning one another, saying, you know what, I love you not because you are perfect. I love you because your Savior is perfect. That's a pretty good word. If anyone has a, and it also says forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. People are pretty good at asking for forgiveness for their sins. We need to also be just as skilled in extending forgiveness as we are. And it goes on and says in verse number 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I have this routine that I go through, and that is if I'm considering an outfit that I've never worn before, I want to make sure that I get my wife and my daughter's input on that to make sure that it all ties together. And I want to mention something here. It says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There is no such thing as love without commitment, without a bond that holds a person together. And so that's why we liken the relationship with Christ and the church to a husband and a wife. It's not supposed to be a one-night stand with God. There's supposed to be this bond that holds you together, that is this unconditional love. Wouldn't it be phenomenal if the body of Christ wore the garment of unconditional love in our homes, at church, in our workplace, with our family members? We need to make sure that we have that, because Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love, get this, not just for him, but for one another. It is supposed to be readily evident to believers and unbelievers that we are the redeemed of the Lord because we've received the love of God, and his love is all over us. So he says, put on that and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, excuse me. How do you want people to come to you? You want them to come in the spirit of meekness. How do you want to receive the word of God? You want to receive it with the meekness of the engrafted word. How do you want to dress? You want to clothe yourself with meekness, because that is our responsibility. God will do his part. He provides it. It is our responsibility to employ those. Every once in a while, I go through my closet, and if there's something in there that I haven't worn, I tend to give it to somebody who will wear it. God didn't give us the spirit of meekness so that we could just keep it hidden away someplace. He wants it to be on display and demonstration in our life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to answer another question, and that is, how do you want to walk? How do you want to walk? And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? So how do you walk worthy of the call that you have as a child of God? And Paul identifies himself this way. He says, I am a prisoner of the Lord. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I remember hearing a message in Brevard County back in the 90s that we are prisoners of hope. I never forgot that message. It's straight out of the Word of God. I've read it a whole bunch of times, but the first time that it ever came to my attention was when I was sitting hearing another preacher talk about we are prisoners of hope. And so I don't believe that God intends for Christians to be pessimists. I don't believe that he wants us living in a fantasy land. I do believe, though, that he wants us to have a confidence in who he is and what he's promised, and that we are a prisoner of that. And so Paul says, look, I am a prisoner of the Lord, and I got no desire to go anyplace else. You know, you could send an earthquake, you could throw open the doors, and Paul said, you know what? I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm right here, and I'm going to minister to this Philippian jailer who's just about to kill himself because God wants him and his entire household saved. He wants to do a great work in this city, and he's going to use this man to do it. So he goes on and he says, walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. You were not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb just so that you could go and flail around in misdirection. You were aimless, just wandering, meandering through life with no focus and no direction. That is beneath your calling. The Bible makes it clear that before the foundation of the world, God had a unique purpose in mind for you and for me at exactly this time in history, and he created us at just such a time so that we could fulfill his purpose. I saw a quote last week, and it said something like this: God is preparing you. It was a quote by Christine Kane, I believe. God is preparing you for the purposes that he created you for. Something along those lines. I don't have the quote right here in front of him. He created you for the things he created you for. And so he's working in your behalf and my behalf. And so he goes on, he says, walk worthy of the calling. And he says, how do you walk? How does a believer walk? One day my mother was watching my father and I walk. We were on a golf course and it was cart path only, and we'd both hit it on the far side. And so we were walking side by side, and she said, you two walk exactly alike. And I believe that that should be indicative of the way that Christians walk. First of all, we walk in lowliness and gentleness. And here in this passage, it's that second word, verse number 4, gentleness. We're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're supposed to have a gentleness, a meekness about us. We're supposed to have long-suffering or patience with us, and we're supposed to bear with one another in love. It goes on, and it repeats a number of those things that we just talked about in Colossians chapter 3. So how do you walk worthy? Well, you do not walk around like a puffed-up chicken. You don't walk around like a rooster strutting himself, or one of these birds that fluffs its feathers out there trying to make itself look bigger and healthier than it is so that it can attract some other bird to himself. We walk in humility and gentleness. and patience. And we learn how to bear with one another, and we know how important the price tag of unity is. Okay? I've said this before, and I will say it again. The body of Christ, now a week ago, I was at the Fuel luncheon, and there was a missionary that was there, and he had said that he had come from a region where people wanted unity at the expense of the gospel. And he said, I could not unite around that, and we're not called to. We are not called to unite to one another at the lowest common denominator. We are supposed to unite around our Savior. And if you're offended by Jesus, who is the most important person in my life, then we don't have anything in common at that point in time. The reason that I am so intent on, you know, being equally yoked with my wife of like faith is because when brethren dwell together in unity, when a husband and wife dwell together in unity, Psalm 133 says there's a commanded blessing there. When there is unity in the home, there's commanded blessing. When there is unity in the church, there is commanded blessing, even life evermore. When there is unity in a country, when there is unity around the reality of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God says, I am going to send my commanded blessing there because they are not only united in their knowledge of me, but they are also united in taking this good news to the ends of the earth, and I want them to have all of the resources, and I want them to have life. I don't know about you, but if everybody was occupying a grave, the person that would be the person of hope would be the person that's alive. Jesus is living inside of us. There are people throughout this county that the Bible describes as being in a condition of dead in their trespasses and sins. Let's walk in humility. Let's walk in gentleness. Let's walk in patience. And let's walk in love and unity so that people will see there's somebody in this graveyard that's alive. There's somebody that's walking around in this darkness, and there's light coming from them because of who Jesus is. I'm telling you, folks, our wardrobe is that we should have the spirit of meekness. And how do we walk worthy of our calling? We walk in the spirit of gentleness. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.